So this is so ironic. We got this call yesterday about a lady that was going on a date.
We started going out, and I was like, this is not going to work. You're just too short.
Oh, you dumped him because he was short.
Really, that's a terrible thing. But, you can't do somebody shorter than you.
So she dumped this guy because he was too short.
Mm-hmm.
And Raven, producer John, producer Sean, this is ironic in my life because I just had this conversation with my husband that he was with his coworkers and they were discussing if somebody says that somebody is short, what is short? So what is a short person?
Mm. Guy or girl?
Let's do this both ways.
Okay.
So first, let's start with this lady. She's talking about the guy. Mm. What is short for a guy?
Anything 5'7 or less.
I was going to say 5'8, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 5'7 or less is noticeably shorter than a lot of people.
It's funny because I think like if you're 5'10 or less, you're short.
I mean, I'm 5'10. Do you think I'm short?
I think 5'9. I think 5'10, you clear that.
You're
5'9.
So skewed though. Like you're so like you've
got
called,
a big tall
you've
husband.
Called literally every single man in this room short, and not one of us is under 5'10. You did it to me the other day. I'm 5'11. Your husband is 6'2. You need to reverse your expectations of the average man.
It's different. I don't know.
Right.
Well, and then let's do the flip side. So for a woman, right, what do you consider to be short for a woman? Because this is where my husband and I had an interesting debate.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think like 5'9 and below, I think, is kind of short for a guy, right?
Okay.
Not that it makes a difference. Let's make that very clear.
I like that I got her down to 5'9. Let the record show. But moving on.
It's been adjusted. All right. But so for a woman.
Right. So he asked me for a woman, how short do you think a short woman is? And I said, well, under 5 feet, you're short.
Oh,
5 feet.
Yeah. I mean, that's real short.
Come on.
That's short.
Yeah. No, I think like anything under like 5'5. You're short.
I would say 5'3 and under. Anything under 5'4.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think 5'4 to 5'6 is an average height woman, right?
It's a difference, though, is that, you know, when you meet a short woman, that doesn't mean that you're not interested in dating her. I mean, it's a little bit different with a guy, I think, for a lot of girls.
Not necessarily.
And I'm not saying that that's fair or that's right, but I'm just saying that I think that that's true.
All right. So, Sean, what do you think a short woman is?
Anything shorter than me is short.
How tall are you?
He's like, I'm the barometer for the universe.
6 feet, I think.
You're the tallest out of the three of us.
Are you?
Yeah, because, I mean, I usually date taller women. Like, Rachel's, like, just, like, maybe, like, 3 or 4 inches, like, shorter than me. And
you,
I just think
you just made it, Rachel.
Congratulations.
Yeah, you made it. You just made the cut.
But
ride ride. Wow.
So, if I could look down to kiss you, you're shorter than me. You're short.
All right. So my husband said that the consensus at his office is that women 5'5 or under are considered short.
Mm.
But I'm 5'2 and 3/4.
Okay.
And
I
don't consider myself short. I consider myself kind of average.
Makes fun of our height all the time and has the audacity as an adult to say 3/4 to 3/4. And yet you have the nerve.
I'm growing every day.
No, that's not true.
Oh.
That part's over.
Taurus coming top of the list of things that people don't look forward to in the summer, which I thought was wild. Bugs I thought would be higher, right?
Yeah, it's counterproductive, especially if you own a business. But I get it. It can be annoying.
1-800-330-9999. Top 5 most annoying things about Taurus. Jessica, number 5.
Asking you to take pictures of them.
Oh, yeah. Would you mind? Can you just... Oh, let me look at it.
No, that's the worst.
The thing is, when they circle back,
yeah, when they say, like, let me see, and then they ask you to do it again. And that has happened many times. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I'm a good photographer. I know I did a good job because this is kind of what I do for a living is take pictures.
But you feel you've been rejected now.
Well, right.
Yeah.
It's like, what do you mean? I did it in portrait mode and regular, and I took different angles, and I did horizontal and vertical. What else do you want from me, lady?
The only way I'm asking you to take another shot, if you've done all that, is if I wasn't able to open my own phone and see the photos. That's the only way.
Sam, number 4, most annoying thing that Taurus do.
Standing in the middle of a busy sidewalk. Get out of my way.
Oh. No, they got to check the phone. They got to see the GPS. They got to, I mean, it used to be a map. Nobody has a map anymore, but they're figuring out whether, especially in a city, this is a thing. So you hold up your phone. You think you're going to follow this to your destination, but your phone isn't picking up exactly where you are. So you're like walking in circles.
Oh, no, but when they stand still, they're standing there, like we have to figure out a way to go around you. Oh, it's nuts.
I love it when people do that in their car. It's the same thing. They just stop in the middle of the street while they figure out where it is they're going. Everybody else behind them is supposed to just stop, I guess, and wait.
Top five most annoying things tourists do. Sarah, number three.
Ignore all traffic signs when they're driving. So irritating.
How do you even know that they're tourists, though, if they're driving?
Oh, I mean, the out-of-state plates and the fact that they feel like they don't have to pay attention to any of those rules.
Don't you ever find that when you're driving and an out-of-state like cuts you off or does anything, you assume that it's like somebody that doesn't belong here? You're like, learn the rules of the road. But like, how do you know that they just don't have a rental car or something?
Well, I mean, they could, right? You know, that's the thing about assumptions. But the good news is when I'm assuming, I'm the boss of that kingdom and I can decide whatever I want. And you know what? If you're from out of state and you cut me off, you're stupid. It's all your fault, not mine.
Steve, number two.
Yeah, it's got to be when they take off their shoes and socks in weird places. I don't get it. It's a weird tourist thing and it drives me up the wall.
I think it's a European thing.
What?
When my husband travels overseas, he'll send me pictures of all the time when he travels, like on the trains. And there's always people sitting next to him that take their socks and shoes off on the train.
Wait a minute.
Everywhere he goes. All the time. He takes pictures and sends it to me. Otherwise, I wouldn't believe it either.
Outside in the world, people are just taking their shoes and socks off on a train.
The commuter trains, like if they take like one train from like Germany to whatever country is next to it, because everything is close by.
Something Germany annex.
Yeah. They take like 3-hour train rides to get to wherever the next country is. And like there'll be people on the train and they all take their shoes and socks off. He sends me pictures all the time.
That is so strange
to me.
Isn't
it weird?
Please put your shoes back on, tourist, sir. Imagine if that was happening in all different places around me right now.
Just on the train.
That'd be so weird.
Yeah, go into your city, all of a sudden you look over and they don't have any socks on.
You don't want to do it on this train, bro.
Melanie, number one.
When Americans go to other countries and they expect everyone to speak English.
Oh, that's turning the mirror on us.
Yep.
You're right. And I do. No, I don't. But I wish you would.
Oh, my gosh.
It just makes it hard, man, when I got to hold up my iGoogle. I'm trying to figure out whether or not I got my money right here on top of it. I feel very awkward and confused.
You're in their country.
You're right.
Yeah. Yes.
You're right.
Yeah.
That's why it's terrible.
Uh-huh.
But I still want it.
Oh.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 What's driving you nuts right now? 1-800-330-9999. Go ahead. Vent. Get it off your chest. Raymond, that's all I need to know about you.
If you let your dog jump on strangers and you think it's funny or cute, that's all I need to know about you.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. I mean, after a while, right? You know, people that they know, right? You know, if they jump up or whatever, some of my friends, they encourage it. You know what I mean? Yeah. And then I got other friends that they're first coming and you're just kind of like, all right. You got to... You know, try and get him to calm down there.
You have to try to get your dog down. You'd be like, no, we don't jump. Like, it's the people that just laugh. Like, it's totally normal. Like, you want to be jumped on that.
Right.
I'm like, I don't, like, I get it. You love your dog, but I don't love your dog. And like,
oh,
please.
That's mean.
It's true.
I love all dogs. Your dog can jump on me. But if he continuously is jumping on me and you're not saying something or whatever, or I appear uncomfortable, then yeah, that's wrong.
I don't want your dog to jump on me. What, does that mean?
Maybe your dog's super cute.
No.
I want your dog to jump on me. I'd like it if your dog left with me, frankly.
I'm wearing clean jeans. I don't plan on washing these for like 6 days. If your dog jumps on me, then I have to, all the mud.
Jumping on me in the backyard is different than jumping on me in the house.
Lydia, that's all I need to know about you.
If you eat bugs, that's all I need to know about you. Mm. I met a guy who was trying to convince me to try chocolate-covered ants. Absolutely not.
I mean, on the scale of bugs to eat, I feel like chocolate-covered ants are pretty easy.
I just read this travel blog. I'm trying to think of somewhere, like, out of the box to take my kids next year versus, like, the usual Disney and, you know, whatever.
Sure.
And I read this, how this family went to Cambodia, and the kids were, like, super into eating all the bugs. And I was like, I don't know. I just don't see the Zap family.
How you can handle it? Right. You're in Laos and you're eating it? Oh, boy.
Some cultures, though, it's very common.
Listen, it's going to be very common for a lot of people down the road because it's a great protein source. Food.
Oh, gosh.
Food, Anna.
You know, I get it. I understand that. I'm keeping open to it because I understand that I don't know what I understand. I have no idea what I understand. I'm just trying to be fair and kind. Diana, that's all I need to know about you.
If you call your kid your mini-me, that's arrogant, and that's all I need to know about you.
What if they're identical, though, and they look just like you? You're like, oh, it's my mini-me.
I mean, it's your kid. Do what you want. I mean, I don't know.
Like it.
I don't know if I can join you on that one. That one doesn't bother me so much. I mean, it's your kid. You say what you want.
Hmm.
Now, if you're 50 and they're 23 and they seem to resent it, it's different.
I don't think either of my girls are a mini me at all. I would say one clearly looks like me
sure.
more than the other, but they're so individualized. You know, it's hard.
Yeah, when they're three, though, it's different than, you know, I mean, you have one that's five, but when they're three or they're 3 months or, you know, 12 months, it's different than, you know, if you're saying that when one's 10.
Yeah.
And if you're dressing them the same as you and you're making them walk in choreographed steps, it gets a little bit creepier, right?
Hmm.
How has a restaurant ruined your meal? 1-800-330-9999. There's this high-end restaurant in Texas that has a rule that diners are not allowed to have their phones with them at any point. Now, here's the owner talking about it.
We wanted to make something that was special. If you can't possibly deal without your phone for 2 hours, this is not the place for you. I mean, people go to movies, they don't get on their phone. So then you're like, okay, I'm just going to sit here and enjoy myself. And that's what happens. It's been really refreshing.
Yeah, except for all the people that are complaining that it ruined their meal. And I can't quite figure out, like, what, you couldn't take a picture of it? You couldn't, like, how?
Yeah.
How did it ruin your meal?
Yeah, I mean, what, you had to have an actual conversation with somebody that you encountered? I mean, I'm with you. First off, 2 hours seems a little bit excessive for a dinner, but if it's a larger party, okay.
Well, I always have 2 hour dinners.
And you can't stop anybody from using their phone at a movie theater nowadays. But I'm with you, man. Like, I mean, it's your place. You reserve the right, and it gives it a different atmosphere.
There's plenty of ways that restaurants can ruin people's meals. I'm not sure this is the way, right?
A classification of
right.
it, right.
How has a restaurant ruined your meal? 1-800-330-9999. Phil?
Well, I found extremely long hair in my spaghetti, and it wasn't just that. I mean, hair in your food is super gross, of course. But then I saw the cook kind of come out of the doorway. And he definitely looked like he did not practice good hygiene. And that just did it for me.
What's worse is when you see the hair in your dish or when you have to pull it out of your mouth.
You have to pull it out of your mouth.
Oh, that's worse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's worse. And I don't care whose it is. It's still going to ick you out.
Even if it's your own.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because you're questioning it.
Yeah.
Is that mine?
Mm-hmm.
Is that, if it's not the color of your normal hair, you are immediately horrified.
Even if it is your hair and you're relatively certain, you still question whether or not it's yours.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. 100%. If you're at a restaurant.
100%.
Anytime you find anything in your food that doesn't belong, you know, a bug, a piece of plastic, a Band-Aid, we've heard that a lot. That's disgusting.
Don't do that to me right now.
Mm. Jasmine, how did a restaurant ruin your meal?
So this one time I was out to dinner with my cousins, and we were making fun of our one cousin who can't handle even like mildly spicy food. And then the waiter overheard our conversation and thought it was funny. And he started asking us, like, oh, who here can handle the spiciest? So we're all joking around and saying that, like, we each thought that we could handle the spiciest. Then when the food came, we all start to take a bite of it. And we almost start, like, gasping for air because it was just so many spices on it. And we turn around and the waiter is laughing and saying, like, see, you should have been honest like her, because I guess the one cousin was the only one he didn't overly spice the food. So we were all kind of like in shock because it seemed like he was just like playing a funny prank, but also we're like, what? Like, we have to pay for this food. Like, this is ridiculous. So we ended up just like ordering a bunch of bread and water to kind of choke it down with and didn't go back there again.
That person should be fired.
100%.
Yeah.
I get that person fired.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not that person that ever wants to ruin somebody's job. But it's not enough for you to come out and comp my meal as the owner or the manager.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have poisoned somebody. You're fired.
Mm-hmm.
You're fired, bruh.
There's a restaurant that's getting a lot of criticism because they implemented a no cell phone rule. And people are saying it's ruining their meal that they can't have their cell phone at this restaurant. And I kept thinking, well, like, all right, maybe you agree with the rule. Maybe you don't. But it ruined your meal?
I mean, right. That seems a little bit extreme, right? Like, I mean, you have a choice when you walk into a place whether or not you want to go there. So if this ain't your cup of tea, don't go.
How did a restaurant actually ruin your meal? 1-800-330-9999. JD.
My wife and I went to a really nice wine bistro near where we live. And we've been going to this place since it opened. They offer the most fabulous wines. And sometimes they'll give you like a wine mixer for a really cheap price and everything. And the desserts, everything from the entrees, everything was always good. But we went there for New Year's Eve one time.
Oh.
And we were halfway through dinner, The manager comes over and says to his guys, this is New Year's Eve. You're going to have to leave in 20 minutes. And we looked at each other like in horror because here's a manager. We're enjoying ourselves. And he's saying to us, we have to leave soon. We haven't even put in our dessert order. To the shock of our waiter, he was absolutely blown away. I'm going to comp you dessert. I can't believe the manager did that. And he was gracious. He did comp us a dessert. But I must tell you, we will never, ever go back there again. That was the most rudest thing. And it absolutely ruined our meal. It ruined our night. Mm. And we will never go back there again.
Was it like 10 o'clock or was it like 11:45? Like, what time was it that
they said 20 minutes? Oh, it's nowhere near that. It had to be. He must have had two seatings for the night. It could be more than 9:30. So good friends of mine sat at the table adjoining us, and he did the same thing.
Yeah.
Same exact thing. They were just blown away. Ridiculous.
That's an interesting scenario there, the combination of the holiday and everything.
Restaurant businesses on those nights are the worst nights. Because there are no win situations. Like, you have to get as many people in. You have to make the money. But you don't want people to feel like this poor guy felt like he was being rushed out. But you got to turn the table.
Right.
I mean, and you never know who's going to sit for 4 hours and who's going to sit for 45 minutes.
As a consumer or a regular, you feel like, you know, they should recognize you. They should see that. And I feel like the manager definitely should say, listen, I'm really sorry, regretfully, but, you know, tonight's one of those nights where I need to do it. Let me get your dessert and I'll get it for you to go or anything like that.
Keith, how did a restaurant ruin your meal?
Oh, man. The last time I went to this restaurant, I was the last person to receive my food and they took so long that everybody was almost completely done during the celebration with their plate. And, to top it off, my food was cold. So I actually never got to eat with everyone. And by the time they were done, I just canceled my order. So they ruined it for me.
Well, it's always the awkward position to be in when you're waiting for your dish to come and everybody else has their meal. Because you immediately have to say, don't wait. Mm-hmm. You guys eat because your food is going to get cold. Like it's
That's the rule.
Obligatory. You have to say it so everybody will start eating. But it stinks when you wait a really long time and then your food comes so much later or there was a mistake or your food has to go back and you're just sitting there waiting and staring at other people eating. Nobody wants that to happen.
Of course not.
But there's mistakes that are made and there's nothing you can really do about it. And I always feel bad for the kitchen when that happens. I feel bad for the kitchen. I feel bad for the server the most.
Well, that's the thing.
Because they're the face.
How is it handled? That is the question, right?
Oh, there's plenty of times when I'm waiting for a dish and it's not coming and I hide. I would hide in the back waiting for it to come out because I'm like, the minute I go out there, they're going to jump on me and I better have a plate to put in front of them. It was all over the news that people were getting married during the eclipse, but did anybody actually do it? Yeah. No, like a lot of people actually did it.
Like, I mean, how many?
400 couples were married during the total solar eclipse at a park just in Arkansas.
I mean,
that's just one location.
How do you feel about things like that, right? Like if you were going to actually get married and you cared about that moment and it was, you know, your special moment, how do you feel about sharing that with 399 other couples?
Well, that's what I was trying to figure out because it was like a mass wedding.
You're just
standing there in a park. It was free. You just had to get your own marriage certificate.
Right.
And it's like you're sharing your moment. And of course, I'm looking at all the dresses everyone is wearing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like comparing them to the bride next to them. I'm like, well, that's pretty. I'm like, that one's cuter. And I'm like, that's not fair.
Right.
On my wedding day,
no
I want to be the prettiest
spouse.
I want to be the most beautiful woman in the room. I don't want to have to share it with everybody else.
Right. The only beautiful woman in the room that day, right? Feeling that way anyway. Special.
Here's one of the couples talking about it.
It was amazing.
It was really cool. I've never seen anything like it. Well, we heard about it, and it just sounded like the coolest thing. Not a lot of people get married under an eclipse.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
I mean, that moment is cool, and I'm sure that there were professional photographers running around or whatever, and so you've got that unique element of it. Do you do that and then do another one?
I think so.
Yes.
I mean, maybe.
I think you might.
Maybe not.
I think you might, right? But you hear that first guy, he's like, this was so awesome. Because he's like, we just saved 50 grand. He's like, we saved 50 grand.
Oh. Also trending right now, Scrabble. If you've been a fan of Scrabble, you know that generally these are the rules.
The object of the game is to score the most points when the game ends. The game ends once one player has emptied their rack of all letters when the bag is empty. or if all the players pass twice in successive turns.
Well, they found out that this game is too hard for most people, especially Gen Z.
So we're making the games easier now. That's what we're doing.
For the first time in 75 years, Mattel is making a major change to the iconic board game Scrabble.
Oh, my gosh.
There is a no more scoring gameplay option.
What?
Yeah, so there'll be a double-sided version of the board. One side is the original game for everyone that wants to stick to the long traditional game. And the other side...
The one where there's a winner, where there's, you know, points given.
Yes.
Right.
The other one is a less competitive version to appeal to Gen Z gamers. And it's called Scrabble Together. It's going to have helper cards, a simpler scoring system. It'll be a faster game, and it'll allow people to play in teams.
These are participation trophies for board games. And Scrabble, long regarded as one of the smartest board games that you could be playing.
I just want you to know that my family plays Scrabble Junior, like, for real. Because we're not smart enough to play the real Scrabble game. And I don't hate this. I don't. But somebody like me that, like, I never really was great at it. I cheated at words with friends. I would be Googling, like, words on the side. I'm like, you know what? Now I got a fighting chance. I don't know.
Yeah.
It wasn't for me. It's not like they're dumbing down Connect 4. It's not Connect 3 now.
Scrabble is hard. I don't think that's an option with Connect 4.
Well, maybe we're going to make it.
So we're just going to get rid of the English language and we'll just, right, we'll just.
I'm just saying, Scrabble is a hard game.
Wow.
This isn't the worst thing that could happen.
I am completely, unsurprisingly, on the other side of this. Completely.
Some professions just attract kind, nice people.
Mm.
I went to get my blood drawn recently. It's been a few times in the last year I've had to go get blood drawn, and I'm still that baby that I can't look.
Yeah.
I get nervous.
Pick a spot on the wall.
Yeah, I'm just looking the other way. And I have to tell you, phlebotomists, like the people that draw your blood, are the nicest people in the world. They are so kind. I can't tell you how many times they're like, no, I'm like that too. Even though I draw blood, I can't look when somebody's taking. They just make you feel so comfortable, and they are so nice.
Did you write down what their name is, the phlebotomist? Because I feel like that is not a word that people typically say.
I learned it because I was like,
because you were like, these people are nice.
These people are nice.
I'm going to give them some respect. I'm going to learn it.
They can't be called the blood draw people, right? So I figured out what their actual titles were.
You know what? The last time I had my blood drawn, she was so nice.
It's a real thing.
And the time before that, you know what? Different location. Also super, super nice.
Doesn't matter where you go.
You're right.
They're all nice.
These phlebotomists are super nice people.
What profession do you think has the nicest people working? 1-800-330-9999. Louie.
Know where we work at a nonprofit. We're all working second jobs. We're doing the best we can. We care for people. The nonprofit sector.
Certainly, of course, right? You're dedicated.
Yeah,
right?
No, absolutely. And you want to know what? It's like every time I go to a 5K or a fundraising event, they always have big smiles on their faces and they're happy to be there. You know, there's this expert that says that if you are fulfilled in your job and you feel like you're contributing and helping other people, you're automatically happier. Yep. And I think that has to play into it, right?
Well, there's a whole thing about the volunteerism, right?
Yeah, and we're nicer to each other. There's no backstabbing or anything. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's nice. Hey, Janine, where do you find the nicest people? They're always nice.
1000% my massage therapist group. They're always so sweet. The music's great, the feng shui, the sound bath. And the caveat is when they're not in a good mood, they take it out on my muscles and I'm in a great mood when I leave there. Win-win.
It does seem like a place where people would be relaxed and in a good mood. Right.
Yes.
If I come in a bad mood, I'm going to be like, I'm going to need you to work on me for 15 minutes before I start my shift.
If you're mad, take it out on me. And she's like, awesome. She's the greatest massage therapist in the world.
Patty, what profession do you think has the nicest people?
I have two. First, I said people that work with hospice, they are the nicest people because I had to deal with them in a passing of one of my aunts. And then Chick-fil-A workers.
Yeah.
Those are the nicest people. They are nice. They're nicer than like your 5-star restaurants. Like, my pleasure. They greet you. They ask you your name. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, Chick-fil-A. 5 stars all day.
I'm with you. They are very pleasant.
And I think to be a hospice nurse, you're a different kind of person. You have to be genuinely kind and patient and like just such a good person. That is a tough job to have.
Yes.
I don't know if I can say the same for the Chick-fil-A workers,
are you serious?
Very happy.
Have you driven by and seen the length of the line?
Yeah.
That's high pressure right there.
Deal with people that are passing away.
But I mean, there's people that are upset that they're waiting for their waffle fries. Mm. They are very upset.
They are nice people.
And they are so
and
nice.
They're so well trained.
Yeah,
wait for them to pull out their app. And you got to be patient at Chick-fil-A.
That's right.
But they keep that line moving.
With the line. It goes so fast. How do they do that? It's so nice.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like being at the ride at Six Flags or something. You know, you look up and then you're there. It's like, man, go Chick-fil-A. Yes.
Yeah. You know what? This has been it's very eye-opening. You are correct.
Right. Yeah. What's the profession that just attracts the nicest people? 1-800-330-9999. Phlebotomists, you know, the people that draw your blood when you have to get your blood taken. I think they're the nicest people in the world. Mm. I have never met a phlebotomist that wasn't kind, understanding, made me feel at home. And then little pinch. Like, they're just so good at their job.
I don't even like the warning for the little pinch. They are super nice people. I'm thinking of like the last three blood draws I had, and they were all very, very nice. I want you to surprise me, though. I'm going to pick a spot on the wall and act brave. Either way, very nice people.
What do you think is the job or the profession that attracts the nicest people? You can call 1-800-330-9999. On our Facebook page, school bus drivers. School bus drivers, Cindy Ann wrote that, definitely true. Really nice people.
Until they take the turn. Because at some point, inevitably, I mean, at least that's the way it was in my town when I was in school. That bus driver is sooner or later going to break. And our kids are out to break those bus drivers.
Corey, what profession do you think attracts the nicest people?
For me, I would have to say hospitality workers, mainly the main service in hotels. They always are very polite and give me everything I need. I just love to give them tips, you know, because they're working so hard to keep your room clean on vacation. And you don't even have to ask them most times.
But do you think they're genuinely nice, or do you think they're just doing it to your face and then behind your back? They're like, those people are disgusting.
Yeah, nasty.
Yeah.
They're so nasty.
The minute you turn around, they roll their eyes at you. I don't know. I think it could go either way.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think it's genuine. A lot of them look like they've been doing it for a long time. I never had an issue, but... So.
I've never had somebody tell me, no, you can't have an extra towel. If I ask for extra towels, they tend to give me three. That's a pretty good number for extra towels.
Magda, where do you find the nicest people working?
I believe it's animal control officers.
Oh, that's a good choice. Right. They carry so much. It's a burden.
It's a labor of love.
I actually work there. So I'm not animal control officer, but I work in the office. And they do a lot, and they're very compassionate. They don't get enough respect.
No.
People, and they don't realize how much they do for environment and for the animals.
Yeah, it's a very hard job because there's a lot of heartbreak associated with it, a whole lot of guilt and terrible feelings. It really is sad. I really do feel for them, but we need them, and we need more of them, to tell you the truth.
Lewis, what profession has the nicest people?
Florists.
Oh.
That's a good choice.
Yes. I've been thinking about becoming a florist.
I mean, you say these crazy things sometimes. What was the other one? Is that you want to be an oceanographer now?
No. I want to train beluga whales.
Yes.
Yeah,
okay,
those are all
right.
Things I really want to do. I also want to learn how to make terrariums. But I'm really into terrariums again.
Yeah.
I remember I was
into that
for a while.
Again, huh?
Yeah, but I'm getting back into them. And I think, like, florists and working with flowers is a really happy field.
No, I agree. The people at the different floral shops that I go to, they are wonderful people. You know what's my favorite thing to do? I never go in and tell them what I want. I tell them what I want to spend, and I say, make me something beautiful. And they always do, because it's such a gift. They have a talent for it. And they're in a good mood when I talk to them, typically. Although there is this one cynical guy at this one place I go to. But other than that, everybody else that works there is really nice. I'd like to be a florist too.
Yeah, I told you.
I don't want to work with whales personally myself. But...
Oh, the beluga ones are so cool.
Okay.
Yeah. Seems like everybody knows someone that's on Ozempic or one of these semaglutides to help you lose weight. But maybe that's not the route you want to go. Is there actually magic foods that will mimic the same results? Let's check in with the experts.
Healthwise with Dr. Wider. Deanna and Raven Show.
Dr. Jennifer Wider, you can find her online at drwider.com. I can just eat something and be skinny, Wider? Tell me.
Really, really funny and very interesting. Obviously, as you mentioned, Anna, a lot of people know someone on a semaglutide. Due to this, a lot of people are trying to find alternatives to the weight loss drugs. What the semaglutide does is it sort of manipulates the hormones in your body that make you feel more full. And if you ask a lot of nutritionists, the key really is to feel full as long as possible. They contain a lot of soluble fibers, these foods, and there are a whole host of them. And people, you know, you can't just eat one overnight and become very skinny, but if you incorporate these into your diet over a couple months, the chances are you're going to feel full for longer, eat less, and definitely lose weight.
Okay, so what are these food products? Gravel?
Please be French fries.
Glass? What things do we have to shove down our throats?
Cheeseburgers.
Cotton balls.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
right.
Really. Here's the funny thing. So cottage cheese was definitely having a moment in 2023, and it continues to have a moment in 2024. There were videos on TikTok. They racked up over 1.3 billion views, okay? Just a half cup of low-fat cottage cheese has 80 calories and 14 grams of protein.
Have you had cottage cheese before?
Imagine it doesn't taste like a booger or feel like a booger going down your throat. It's more like a cheeseburger. Do that.
I've never had it. Have you had it, Raven?
I think I've had it on top of like a grapefruit or a piece of fruit or something like that. And it was terrible.
Yeah, like a melon. You never had that, Adam?
Yeah, no. And it was terrible that way, too.
You know, my dad, growing up, one of his favorite sayings is, what am I, cottage cheese? Right?
See, nobody wants it.
And ever since then, like for some reason, it always struck me as something I never wanted because he would use it like that all. What am I? Cottage cheese over here? Cottage cheese?
Please, the next time you see your father, just ask him to describe cottage cheese and then bring that audio to me.
Right.
I want to hear that.
Another big one are lentils. Lentils are a big part of this, like legume family, and legumes are all really, really high in fiber. What's interesting is they contain soluble fibers that soak up water. When you ingest them and you're digesting, they sort of expand in your stomach and make you feel full for much longer. They're in minestrone soup. They're in bean stews. They make you digest much more slowly, which is exactly what the semaglutides do, making you feel fuller longer.
You know what else absorbs liquids, Anna, and expands? Kitty litter, sawdust. Any of those things.
And cotton balls.
Right.
My mom puts sausage in minestrone soup, which I'm sure doesn't help the situation here. But
going against
delicious.
The grain, but delicious.
Yeah.
Right.
The next one on the category is sprouts and broccoli. So veggies like broccoli and cauliflower, even Brussels sprouts, cruciferous vegetables like that can keep you fuller longer. And the next one, which is a little bit more palatable, is eating eggs. There was a recent study that showed us that you can eat up to like 9 or 10 eggs in a week and your cholesterol will not go up considerably. Eggs are really, really high in omega-3 fatty acids. They're very, very high in protein, and they can keep you full for longer, as can fish, by the way. Definitely incorporate some of these foods in your diet, and the trick is to stay full for longer, and many of these foods will do that.
Many of these foods, Anna, the best way to get it to taste like a cheeseburger is to feed it to the cow.
Oh.
And then have a cheeseburger.
Okay. Dr. Jennifer Wider, you can find her online at drwider.com. Thanks, Jenna.
Thanks, guys.
Goose Baba. It's Wellness Wednesday.
Don't freak out.
With Anna and Raven.
If you missed it, a few minutes ago, Dr. Jennifer Wider said that if you don't want to go on those injection shots, there are foods that are really good for you that can help you lose weight. And she talked about cottage cheese, and Raven and I were discussing how we've never really had cottage cheese before.
I mean, I think it was also shared the opinion that we don't have a favorable opinion of it.
Mm-hmm.
When people talk about it, it's not something they talk about. I've seen it. I've had it in my mouth before, but I can't really remember what it was like. The texture was not something I enjoyed.
What are the benefits of cottage cheese? Here's a lady from the internet.
Often known as the perfect cheese for a low-fat diet, cottage cheese was used since the 70s. It has a creamy texture and salty taste.
Wait, creamy and salty?
Wait a minute. They didn't have cottage cheese till the 70s?
I know.
Because a lot of questionable decisions were made in the 70s.
Listen.
Just going to put that out there.
When you come to the Anna and Raven show, you learn stuff. Cottage cheese was born in 1974, apparently.
Who knew this?
All right, so she's going to list the top 10 health benefits of cottage cheese because it's supposed to be so good for you.
Yeah.
All right, let's open them. Every time she gives us one of the benefits, we have to take a bite of it.
I don't like this idea at all. Oh. You couldn't get a flavored one? I mean, literally.
This is all the grocery store had. Ready? Why are you tapping the top?
I don't know. Think of it like yogurt. Do I have to
You tap your yogurt?
Flip it over. Yeah. Do I have to get the fruit on the bottom? There's no fruit in here.
1. Great source of calcium.
It's a great source of calcium. Take a bite.
Really?
Yeah, let's go. Oh. I don't like it. I thought it was going to be.
Oh!
It's good. It's a great source of calcium.
2. rich in protein. The amount of protein contained in cottage cheese is ideal for vegetarians in supplying them with the required amount of daily protein.
This is really good for the vegetarians. Take another bite.
I don't wanna.
Just do it. My bite got a lot smaller.
3, prevents strokes.
Do you want to have a stroke? Do you want to have a stroke?
No.
All right, then take another bite of the cottage cheese.
Oh, come on. That didn't even count. That was a whole thing?
Yeah.
4, boost digestive health. The calcium in cottage cheese, surprisingly, can reduce heartburn and prevent an upset stomach.
You want to upset? You want to unupset your stomach?
Why would somebody make this?
Wait a minute.
Why did they do this in the 70s? I thought everybody in the 70s was supposed to be having fun.
I think the more we eat it, the better it gets, right?
5, cut risk of heart disease. Cottage cheese contains vitamin B12, which is one nutrient known to reduce excess levels of homocysteine.
Think about how high our B12 levels are right now, Raven.
It's kind of like if I had like some string mozzarella cheese, but then I dropped it in a puddle.
Yes. Yeah,
that sounds appealing
that's
to you.
Positive thinking.
Yeah.
6, can aid weight loss.
Oh.
Cottage cheese intake can certainly lead to weight loss, largely related to its high protein content while remaining low in calories.
You know, we're eating this like a yogurt.
Yeah.
But remember like when you would go to the diner and it would come like served with like a cantaloupe or something like that? Maybe that's why what we're doing wrong. Maybe we're not supposed to eat it like yogurt.
7, maintains blood sugar levels. 8.
Oh, we're just gonna. All right, good.
I don't know nothing about that.
Good for pregnant women.
This is great for pregnant women, Raven.
I'm not pregnant.
Well, we don't know that.
All right.
All right, let's go to the next one.
I mean, what number are we on?
9. Can aid diabetes treatment.
It can aid diabetes treatment.
Hold also, on. Don't have diabetes.
Take a big bite. Last one. Back one. I think I like it now.
10.
What? You can have
helps
mine.
Helps delay aging.
Mm.
In some ways, cottage cheese can delay the signs of aging and boost skin and hair health.
I'm going to live forever.
Too late.
Look at me.
Too late. I'm out. You can have the rest of mine. Thank you.
One couple.
I don't want to keep dealing with my sister and all of the drama it's causing.
Isn't that the stupidest thing you ever heard?
One problem.
To name the baby Clifford and demand that we change our dog's name.
You decide the outcome.
Yeah, thank you. I love the audience for that.
Will be a fun story, hopefully, to us in a few years.
It's Couple Score on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about. And then you just have to decide who's right. Louie and Frida. Frida, what's going on?
Yeah, so our neighbor pays me to walk her dog twice a day while she's at work. I work from home, and we don't have any pets, and I really, really enjoy it. I've always wanted a dog, and, you know, it's extra money, and I get some exercise. Dog is so freaking cute, and the neighbor told me that she's going to be moving in the next year and retiring. I just wanted to ask her if maybe we could keep the dog. Louie thinks that you can't just ask someone to have the dog, but I think if we just offer to buy the dog, and she's moving across the country, that can't be good for the dog. And the dog is what matters, and the dog loves me, and I think the dog would love Louie. We don't, you know, okay. We don't do much all day. I just think that having a dog would be wonderful for us.
Why not get your own dog? Louie, what's your side of this?
It's weird. It's weird. It seems weird to me. Like, I don't think you can offer to buy someone's dog. And I get it, sweetie. If you want a dog, we can maybe go pick out a dog. We'd have that conversation. But, you know, this lady's nice. We've got a good relationship with her. Dogs move all the time. You know, she's not dying. She's just retiring and moving.
I mean,
it feels uncomfortable to offer to buy this dog.
Can you make an offer to buy somebody's dog? How much money would I
have? How much for your dog?
How much for your dog?
Yeah.
I mean,
how much for the children? How much for your children? I mean, if you're retiring, I would think that would be the time that you want to spend with your dog the most, right? And
yeah.
I mean, I got to agree. I mean, it is a little bit creepy. It'd be one thing if you know, Frida, if your neighbor was like, you know, I don't know, it's a big undertaking with the dog and everything, and then you jumped in, that would be one thing. Or maybe you could open up that door by saying, gosh, I'm really going to miss your dog. I love the dog, whatever the dog's name is, you know, but I don't know. Maybe is it creepy?
Is it weird? I don't know.
The dog's name is Blair.
Okay, Blair.
All right. Well, I love Blair. I've grown to love Blair.
Can I buy Blair? How much does Blair cost?
Yeah.
Can I have Blair?
What's Blair worth to you? Seems a little bit. seems a little much. Like
I was thinking of offering $2,000. To be honest, I have it already saved aside in another account.
I why not just go buy Blair's sister?
Well, because she has a relationship with this dog. I mean, I understand where she's coming from because some animals you click with and you love more than others. I understand
sure.
that completely. Now, can you offer to buy somebody's dog? That, I don't know.
I mean, go to an adoption event. You will fall in love with at least 8 dogs. I promise you.
What happens, though, is this such a big deal to be like, you know, I've been thinking about it, and maybe if Blair is not convenient to come with you, I would love for her to come live with me. I mean, if somebody said it to you like that, I mean, obviously you would probably say no, but who knows the situation if she's retiring? Maybe she has concerns. If she can't walk the dog herself twice a day and she's hiring her to do it. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, but you got to think that somebody that's conscious enough of their pet to hire a dog walker that's walking them twice a day is also caring about their well-being and would mention if they seemed like it was daunting or whatever to them. But, I mean, I don't know.
I'll give you $3,000 for one of your dogs, Raven. You could pick which one you like least and give it to me.
No. No, you can't have my dog.
Baxter's annoying. You know he is.
He's got moments. He's got moments, but he'd find me after. He'd come in back and get me. No. Nope.
What do you think? Is it disrespectful?
Little face would haunt me.
Is it disrespectful and rude to offer to buy the neighbor's dog? Or is it, what's the big deal? Maybe she just says no.
It's not a Camry. 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Do you think you can offer to buy somebody's dog? Louie and Frida, they're having this disagreement right now. So Frida, their neighbor, Frida dog walks twice a day, and the neighbor is older. She's getting ready to retire now. She'll be moving across the country. And Frida said to Louie, you know, I love Blair, that's the dog's name, so much. I'm thinking about just saying, I would like to buy your dog. Maybe she'll sell them to me before she moves.
Yeah, and Louie's like, that is totally weird, right? It's cool that you love the dog, and we can go get a dog, or we could talk about getting a dog if you want to, but you can't just go after the neighbor's dog and try and buy it. I mean, for myself personally, Anna, if I'm thinking about retiring, I'm thinking about spending more time with my dog. That's one of the big pluses.
For your elderly, sometimes that's a lot of work. What do you think? What would you do? 1-800-330-9999. Charlie, whose side are you on?
You know, I'm definitely on the wife's side, but it really depends how you approach it. I'm a trainer, and I train dogs. I bring them out in public, and I have my personal dogs. And every once in a while, people ask me.
Yeah.
Would you consider selling that dog?
Right.
The answer is always no, but I'm not offended that they asked me that. I'm actually flattered that they asked because they see it's a really good dog.
Right.
Yeah, you know, I've heard this with trainers before. You hear this all the time, actually, on movie sets, right, where an animal is part of the movie and the actor or actress falls in love with the animal and they want to buy the animal. And, of course, right. The answer is always the same. No, you can't have my dog. But I guess it's a little bit different. Thank you for the call, Charlie.
Thanks, Charlie. Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's Couples Court. Can you ask somebody if you can buy their pet? That's the disagreement between Louie and Frida. Frida dog walks her neighbor's dog twice a day. She's been doing it for years. And now that Frida's neighbor is retiring and will be moving away, Frida's like, I'm just going to ask her if I could buy Blair. I love this dog. I've always loved this dog. And if she's moving and she's retiring, maybe she doesn't want to take Blair with her.
I mean, Louie's just like, you can't go asking the neighbor if you can buy their dog. He's like, it's weird, right? If you want to get a dog, we can talk about getting a dog. But obviously the neighbor loves the dog also and is going to want to take their dog with them.
Maybe not. What do you think? 1-800-330-9999. Rebecca, whose side are you on?
I work at a veterinary office, so I'm on both sides. I get owner transfers all the time for individuals that move, die, go out of state, retire. It's hard on a fixed income. So yeah. It's possible.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible, but I just feel like they have to mention that, like, right? Like, if they seem downtrodden about their move and retirement, then that's one thing. But if they're like, I can't wait to be retired, to travel, and I'm going to spend so much time with Blair, my dog. That's different.
But Rebecca brings up a good point. Like, if you don't know the person very well, you don't know what's going on internally. She might be coming forward and putting that offer there, and, like, that's a savior for her. Because, you know, she's been struggling with what to do.
I suppose you're right.
Emily, what do you think?
I'm signing with Louie here. Because I just think it's totally out of line. It's a boundary you should not step over. And it's just overall weird. If they want a dog, she can get a dog. The neighbor has a connection to this dog. And there's no reason, just because they're moving across the country, why the dog should be given up.
Somebody out of the blue offers to buy my dog. I think to myself, they want to take my dog. I do. I don't know if that's rational or not, but that's how I feel.
Rose, what side are you on?
I actually think if there's, I don't like the word buying the dog, but if she ever approached the neighbor and just said, if the dog is too much to handle, I would love to give him a home, I can't see any harm in that.
Mm.
I kind of with you, Rose, now that I really think about it. I think if you go forward with a blank check and said, I would like to buy your dog, it's weird.
Yeah, it's different.
It's different.
Yeah.
But if you say, if you've been thinking about, you know, any issues with, like, just how she said it, how Rose said it, I don't know if that's offensive. That's, you know...
Rose, how do you feel about being Frida's spokesperson on this one?
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Frida, our audience agreed with you today. It doesn't hurt to ask, but like, is your plan to take Blair with you? And if the worst thing that she could say is yes, and you'd be like, all right, I was just going to say, and then you could pretend like you were joking the whole time. Oh, I was just going to say, if you want to, I'd be more than happy to take her, you know? But that's the way to do it.
I think it is a delicate conversation, Frida, but you know what? I mean, you're caring about the well-being of the dog, so that's a good place to start from.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I wouldn't come out and be like, listen, I got $2,500. I want your dog. I wouldn't do that.
No, you started off with $2,000 and then you offered.
Oh, then you negotiate the dog.
Nope, I think we've missed the mark here.
It's a negotiation.
Okay, Louie.
I'm going to be before. Oh, my gosh.
Louie, you're going to be all right.
Oh, I got to work more. Oh, honey, you're giving away so much of my money.
I mean, it's not the money that's my concern. Good luck, guys.
Yeah, if you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $700. Crashes can happen to even the safest of drivers. That's where driver assistance technologies come in. New features that have the potential to save lives. Learn more at NHTSA.gov/driver tech. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Transportation's National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Hey, Maureen, you ready to do this?
I'm ready to do this.
Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
You got it. Good luck, Maureen.
Okay.
Thank you.
Raven's going to walk out of here. When that door slams, he won't be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. I'm going to ask you 5 questions. You have about 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring them back in, ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to go?
Ready.
Number one, Dwayne Johnson said he will not be endorsing a presidential candidate this time around, and he's going to keep his politics to himself. His first acting role was in what 2001 movie with Brendan Fraser?
I don't know.
Number two, the first official 28-minute new episode of Bluey was finally given an air date. It's going to premiere on April 14th. What's the name of Bluey's sister?
I don't know.
Number three, Sylvester Stallone is being accused of creating a toxic environment on Tulsa King, including calling the extras ugly. The director denies the whole thing. One step at a time, one punch at a time, one round at a time is from what Stallone movie?
Creed.
Number four, Missy Elliott announced her first ever arena headlining tour with Busta Rhymes and Ciara. In her hit song, Lose Control, what make you lose control?
Crazy men.
Number five, Jessica Alba is stepping down as the chief creative officer of her personal care product company. What's that company called?
I don't know. I am so embarrassed. I am so sorry.
Maureen, it's okay. Because your answer will be by far the highlight of my day. So don't worry. No, it's fine. Maureen only got one right.
Oh, Maureen. All right, $700. Maybe they're really, really, really tough. Let's find out.
No, they're not.
Okay. Well, keep it positive.
Number one, Dwayne Johnson said he will not be endorsing a presidential candidate this time around. He's going to keep his politics to himself. His first acting role was in what 2001 movie with Brendan Fraser?
Oh, with Brendan Fraser, 2001. Oh, The Mummy.
Yes, The Mummy.
Yep, yep.
Number two, the first official 28-minute episode of the new Bluey was given an air date on April 14th. People are very excited. What's the name of Bluey's sister?
Bingo.
Bingo is right.
We watch Bluey all the time when my grandson's over.
Number three, Sylvester Stallone is being accused of creating a toxic environment on Tulsa King, including calling the extras ugly.
I don't know if I believe it.
Well, the director denies the whole thing. I don't think so, too. Like, he can't be that dumb at this point.
Right.
Yeah. One step at a time, one punch at a time, one round at a time is from what Stallone movie?
I mean, it's got to be Rocky, and I'm going to say Rocky 1.
No, it's Creed.
Oh!
Number four, Missy Elliott announced her first ever arena headlining tour with Busta Rhymes and Ciara. And her hit song, Lose Control. What make you lose control?
Music make you lose control.
Let's go now. Ooh, ooh.
Music make you lose control. Music make you lose control.
Number five, Maureen said crazy men. And
Okay.
Crazy men do make you lose control.
I'm sure there's a song that says that too.
Number five, Jessica Alba is stepping down as the chief creative officer of her personal care product company. What's that company called?
The Honest Company.
Yes. I'm sorry, Maureen. He beat you 4-1 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Thank you. It's Maureen, and I cannot beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl.
Thank
800
you.
Bucks tomorrow, Anna.